In August of 1993, filmgoers witnessed Harrison Ford on screen as Dr. Richard Kimball, a convicted murderer running around the streets of Chicago, trying to stay one step ahead of Chicago police and the U.S. Marshals sent to apprehend him, all while looking for the one-armed man and clear his name. It is one of the best action movies ever shot here in Chicago, and as it turns 30 years old on August 6, 2023, today we're discussing The Fugitive in Chicago. I'm Tommy Henry, and this is the Chicago History Podcast. Fair warning, if you haven't seen The Fugitive yet, stop listening to this right now and go watch it, as there will be spoilers. Joining me today is my friend and fellow film nerd, Kelly Marshall. Kelly runs Chicago Movie Tours, a local company dedicated to helping guests experience Chicago's longstanding history with movies through walking tours, virtual tours, and video tours on demand. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you for having me back. The last time I was on here, I think we were talking all things Backdraft with the movie screenwriter. And incidentally, I wanted to let you know that since then, I have learned that my neighbor's father was the fire chief at one of the firehouses where much of Backdraft was filmed. And I actually have some Kurt Russell gossip I'm going to share with you off the air, of course.
Oh, very saucy. So let me ask you this. Do you remember the first time you saw The Fugitive? Was it in a theater or was it on VHS?
Honestly, I do not remember the first time I saw The Fugitive, but I'm fairly certain it was in a theater. In the early 1990s, during my last years of high school, I worked at a video store. Maybe you'll remember those. So I was way more in tune to new releases like The Fugitive at that point than I am with new releases these days.
Before we get to 1993's The Fugitive, we must first acknowledge a few things. I'm often surprised when people rave about The Fugitive, but have no idea it was based on a 1960s TV show. That show, also called The Fugitive, was created by Roy Huggins and starred David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, who across four seasons and 120 episodes seeks to clear his name and find the one-armed man who killed his wife. In pursuit was Barry Morse as Police Lieutenant Philip Gerard. While not a big hit with viewers in its first season, the 1960s TV series The Fugitive made it into the top five in its second season. During its final two seasons, The Fugitive fell out of the top 30, but fans tuned into the series finale big time to see how everything wrapped up. That series finale is currently ranked number three for the all-time highest U.S. television household share of 72%, which means nearly three out of every four TVs in America was tuned into The Fugitive that night.
And in September of 1991, The Hollywood Reporter carried a blurb announcing that David Tuohy would write and direct The Fugitive, based on the TV series from the 1960s. While Tuohy had written a few B-movie scripts and directed a film called Grand Tour, Disaster in Time, which stars Jeff Daniels, Warner Brothers likely soon decided they needed a more experienced director for The Fugitive, originally budgeted at between $25 and $30 million. Director Walter Hill was originally picked to helm the film and had also taken an early run at crafting the screenplay for The Fugitive. Hill instead left to make a film for Universal called Looters, later named Trespass, which starred Bill Paxton, Ice-T, and Ice Cube. If you don't remember it, you're not alone. Walter Hill had solid action cred back then with The Warriors and 48 Hours with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy on his resume. Another director considered for The Fugitive was Stephen Frears, whose credits include the not-so-action-packed Dangerous Liaisons and The Grifters.
Enter Andrew Davis. Andrew Davis was coming off back-to-back hits for Warner Brothers, first with the 1988 action film Above the Law with Steven Seagal, which shot primarily in Chicago. In addition to a number of Andrew Davis regulars, and we'll get to that in a bit, it also featured a pre-Basic Instinct Sharon Stone as Seagal's wife. I'm not a big fan of the Russia-loving weirdo that Seagal has become, but this is a solid action movie. In 1992, Davis worked with Seagal again, this time with Tommy Lee Jones in the cast for the film Under Siege. Fun fact, Tommy Lee Jones has more screen time in Under Siege than Seagal does. Born in 1946, Andrew Davis grew up on the South Side of Chicago. His interest in movie making started at a young age, becoming the president of the South Chicago YMCA Photo Club when he was 8 years old. At 12, he was the projectionist in his grammar school, a rite of passage for budding film nerds. Davis attended Bowen High School in South Chicago, then became a journalism major at University of Illinois, where a budding writer named Roger Ebert was editor of the Daily Illini newspaper. During his summers home, Davis worked at the nearby steel mills of South Chicago. Davis recalled being on the air on WILL, the University of Illinois campus radio station, where he would read wire service reports about Vietnam, stories he felt were untrue. Quote, "We realized that we were repeating lies that the government wanted us to say about the war in Vietnam. I was anti-war, so I said, I don't want to do this, so I quit. And that's when I got the job as an assistant cameraman at University of Chicago." Getting out of college and returning to Chicago in the summer of 1968 put Andrew Davis on a course with Destiny and the 1968 Democratic National Convention.
Andrew Davis's parents belonged to a theater group that included filmmaker Haskell Wexler, who had grown up in Chicago and was in town to shoot a new drama called Medium Cool. Hearing that young Andrew Davis was interested in film, Wexler hired him to film documentary and behind-the-scenes footage. Now, if you haven't seen Medium Cool, it is a film that deals with issues such as poverty, racism, civil rebellion, the war in Vietnam, the Kennedy and King assassinations, and more. It also contains footage of the 1968 Democratic Convention protest, during which one civilian was killed and more than 500 protesters, 100 plus civilians, and 152 police were injured. While Medium Cool is now considered a masterpiece and was selected in 2003 for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress, it did not show Chicago in a positive light. And according to Andrew Davis in a 2012 interview, then Chicago Mayor Richard J. Daley, quote, squashed it because Gulf and Western, who owned Paramount, the film's distributor, was trying to put up a building, and Daley said, get that movie that's criticizing me out of my town, end quote.
Andrew Davis's first feature film as a director was the 1978 semi-biographical picture Stony Island, based on a Southside neighborhood, which stars Davis's real-life brother Richie as a member of an up-and-coming blues band in Chicago. Richie Davis currently fronts the local party band Chicago Cats, spelled with a Z, and has written and produced music for the Andrew Davis-directed films Above the Law, Under Siege, The Package, A Perfect Murder, Holes, and The Guardian. Look for a 30-something Maywood, Illinois-born Dennis Franz and a teenaged Ray Don Chong in supporting roles in Stony Island, as well as musician Susanna Hoffs, whose mother co-wrote the screenplay, who also appears. For you Chicago film dorks, and I'm talking about you, Kelly Marshall, the director of cinematography for Stony Island was Tak Fujimoto, who spent time in Chicago in the mid-1980s while working with director John Hughes on Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Andrew Davis's film resume includes other films shot in Chicago, including 1985's Code of Silence with Chuck Norris, and a cast that includes former Chicago cop-turned-actor Dennis Farina, and Andrew Davis's father, Nathan Davis, who often had a role in his son's films. The Package from 1989, shot here in Chicago, included scenes shot around the city and suburbs, standing in for places such as Germany, Washington, D.C., and Arlington, Virginia. While not a box office success, film critic Roger Ebert gave The Package 3 stars out of 4, calling it, quote, smarter than most thrillers, end quote. It was also Andrew Davis's first time working with Tommy Lee Jones. The mid-1990s saw Andrew Davis back in Chicago working with Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman on the action thriller Chain Reaction, released in 1996. Although not a hit at the box office or with critics, by the way, it does feature some cool mid-1990s shots of Chicago. When brought on for The Fugitive, one of the first things Andrew Davis did was try to sort out some script issues. According to Davis, one early version of the script had the big reveal that Tommy Lee Jones's character, Sam Gerard, had hired the one-armed man to kill Richard Kimball's wife because Kimball had let Gerard's wife die on the operating table. Glad they got that fixed.
By November of 1992, Harrison Ford was the top pick to play Dr. Richard Kimball, finally agreeing to the role in December of that year. In early 1993, filming began in Chicago with director Andrew Davis and a great list of actors in place. In addition to a solid supporting cast that included non-Chicago notables such as Joe Pantoliano, Julianne Moore, Daniel Roebuck, Tom Wood, and Celia Ward, many in the cast had Chicago connections. Harrison Ford,
I didn't kill my wife,
was born at Swedish Covenant Hospital at Foster and California and graduated from Maine East High School. Jane Lynch, best known for her roles in TV's Glee, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and a ton of other things, portrayed a doctor who provides crucial info to Kimball in his quest to unravel the mystery surrounding his wife's murder.
Clearly not the same tissue. And not only did they all come from healthy livers, they all came from the same liver.
Lynch, born in Evergreen Park, grew up in Dalton, Illinois, and attended Thorn Ridge High School. As the only female on Sam Gerard's team of U.S. Marshals, L. Scott Caldwell, as Deputy U.S. Marshal Aaron Poole, had no problem holding her own.
Sam! Ambulance. Just spotted. 2 miles west of Doverville, heading north State Highway 53.
Running out of luck!
Caldwell, who was born in Chicago and grew up on the Southside neighborhood of Woodlawn, later attended Hyde Park High School and graduated from Loyola University Chicago. In addition to her role in The Fugitive, Caldwell is also known for playing Rose in the TV series Lost.
One thing to admire about Andrew Davis, he has a cast of actors that he uses repeatedly in his films. And at the top of that list, Chicago-born Ron Dean, who plays Detective Kelly in The Fugitive.
All right, people. As of this morning, we were notified by the U.S. Marshal's office that our old friend, Dr. Richard Kimball, is alive and well and back home here in Chicago. Now, you all know what high regard we hold this scumbag. So I personally am donating a bottle of 12-year-old scotch to whoever puts the collar on this quack.
From Early Edition to Chicago Fire to Chicago PD, Dean has appeared in numerous TV shows shot in the greatest city in the world. Dean's Chicago-based film work includes Continental Divide with John Belushi, Risky Business, Breakfast Club, and Nothing in Common with Tom Hanks. Dean has appeared in 7 of Andrew Davis's films, including the 2006 feature The Guardian with Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher. Character actor Joe Casala plays Detective Rossetti.
Now, Doc, on his fight with this guy with the one arm, did it happen upstairs or downstairs?
Upstairs.
And he had, which was his right or left arm? He had that little gimmick on it.
Right arm.
Was it one of those with the hooks or?
Casala was a real-life detective in the Chicago Police Department where, according to his Internet Movie Database page, he served in specialized units such as Special Detachment Burglary in Area 6 and the Major Crimes Unit.
We'll be right back.
Are you a Caribbean American? Are you looking for a podcast that truly speaks to your culture and identity? Look no further than Carry On Friends, the ultimate destination for all things Caribbean American, hosted by me, Carrie Ann. Dive deep into topics such as culture, heritage, and everyday life through the unique lens of the Caribbean American experience. You'll walk away feeling more connected to your roots. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts so you'll never miss an episode of Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American experience. Your Caribbean American community awaits.
Legendary Chicago reporter John Bulldog Drummond is in The Fugitive playing a reporter.
We're
reporting to you live from the near north side home of Dr. Richard Kimball, a respected vascular surgeon at Chicago Memorial Hospital. Details are sketchy at this hour, but we understand that Dr. Kimball's wife, Helen, was found murdered in the home this evening. And right now, Area 6 detectives are bringing out Dr. Kimball. We assume that they are going to be taking him to a police station, probably Area 6 at Belmont and Western.
Drummond, who worked at CBS 2 Chicago from 1969 until 1997, covered crime in the city and is known as a walking encyclopedia of Chicago mob history. Drummond also appeared in Above the Law and Chain Reaction, both for director Andrew Davis, and earlier this year celebrated his 93rd birthday. Also in one of the press conference scenes is Pam Zekman.
Marshall, we understand your deputies were at County Hospital today. Was Dr. Kimball at County Hospital?
Who Chicagoans should recognize for her nearly 20-year run at Chicago CBS 2 as an investigative journalist. Zekman and John Drummond also appeared in the Andrew Davis film Chain Reaction together. Later in the film, Channel 2's Jay Levine can be seen, as can then-local CBS 2 anchor Lester Holt before he bolted for MSNBC and NBC Nightly News. Also appearing in a press conference scene is actor David Pasquazi, who was born in Chicago and raised in Lake Bluff, Illinois. He has been appearing in Chicago TV and movie productions for more than 30 years and has performed on Chicago stages such as the Steppenwolf Theater, Goodman Theater, the Second City, IO Theater, Improv Institute, and Annoyance Theater. Two generations of the Cusack family are in The Fugitive. John and Joan Cusack's father, Dick Cusack, appears as attorney Walter Guthrie.
Richard, you're asking me to harbor an aide, a convicted felon. I can't help you that way.
Dick Cusack also appears in two other Andrew Davis films, The Package and Chain Reaction. Bill Cusack, 2 years older than brother John, is credited as tracing technician. If the jail guard in the scene where prisoners are being prepped for their trip on the prison bus look familiar, that's Otis Wilson, who was part of the Chicago Bears from 1980 to 1988 as an outside linebacker. Otis Wilson was a featured soloist in the Shufflin' Crew in the video The Super Bowl Shuffle in 1985 and would go on to be a crucial part of the defensive line that helped the Bears win Super Bowl 20.
Some of those non-Chicago notables that we mentioned earlier had filmed movies and TV shows here in Chicago, or they would go on to do so after. For instance, John Pantoliano appeared as Snake in the 1986 film Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. Julianne Moore was in 1997's Chicago Cab, an independent film produced here based on the play Hell Cab. And Cela Ward appeared in the 1986 Gary Marshall-directed film Nothing in Common as Tom Hanks's love interest. Nothing in Common, shot here in Chicago, is often remembered as Jackie Gleason's final film.
On to The Fugitive's filming locations in Chicago. That gorgeous townhome in which Richard Kimball finds his dying wife and first encounters the one-armed man, that's at 336 West Wisconsin Street near Lincoln Park. The scene where Kimball is being escorted from jail to the bus, that was actually shot at the University of Chicago Charter Elementary School at 1119 East 46th Street in Chicago's Kenwood neighborhood. The spectacular train crash was not filmed in Chicago or even Illinois, as reportedly no train companies wanted to be associated with a train crash. It was filmed at the Great Smoky Mountains Railway west of Asheville, North Carolina. We'll have links in the show's notes if you want to read more about that. Also not shot in Chicago or even in Illinois, Richard Kimball's dive from the dam. Actually, that's only partially true. One location used in the production of The Fugitive here in Chicago was a nearly 75,000-square-foot warehouse at 3900 West 41st Street, chosen for its proximity to filming sites. The maze of tunnels in which Lieutenant Gerard chases Kimball from the mountain tunnel to the dam were constructed in this warehouse at a cost of $400,000, nearly $850,000 in today's value. The tunnels were engineered to pump 150,000 gallons of water, about as much as used by a public swimming pool.
More Chicago locations. There is a brief shot of Lieutenant Gerard and the other marshals boarding their plane, which was filmed at Miggs Field. Miggs Field closed in March of 2003 and is now Northerly Island. Richard Kimball passes a big Union 76 orange globe perched above a sign that reads Stockyard Truck Stop. Once located at 45th and Halsted, near where Chicago's Stockyards once operated, this location closed in 2001 and was torn down a year later. One scene has Richard Kimball renting a basement room in a rundown building from a woman and her adult son, who both eye him suspiciously. In a 1993 piece with Entertainment Weekly, director Andrew Davis shared how he found the right locale for Dr. Richard Kimball to hide out. And Davis explains that the neighborhood, which at that time had been hit hard economically by the downturn in U.S. steel production, was, quote, an area gasping for breath. No one would expect a highfalutin doctor to be there, end quote. That three-flat building on the southwest corner of South Houston Avenue and West 90th Street sits in Chicago's 10th Ward, where Richard Speck killed eight student nurses in 1966.
March 17th, 1993 was a big day for filming in Chicago. This was the day of Chicago's St. Patrick's Day parade that year, and not only did The Fugitive film that day along the actual parade procession, but the Aidan Quinn, Madeline Stowe film Blink was also filming during the parade that chilly morning. According to director Andrew Davis, the parade was a largely improvised effort, with a Steadicam operator capturing Harrison Ford's chaotic scramble to avoid Tommy Lee Jones' character. Harrison Ford grabbing the green hat out of the garbage and putting it on? Improvised. As Ford was trying to remain low profile in the movie, no one realized it was the Harrison Ford for the first few minutes he was running around. Andrew Davis stayed true to his Southside roots, filming near 89th and Commercial Avenue, where Dr. Richard Kimball stops at a thrift store. When he finally gets a lead on the one-armed man, he heads to the Pullman neighborhood near 113th Street. It is here Kimball finds the one-armed man's house at 11217 South St. Lawrence Avenue, just a few doors down from the now-closed Pullman Cafe. The scene in which Richard Kimball makes a call on the payphone at a bar was shot at the now-shuttered Pullman Pub on 113th Street between Champlain and St. Lawrence Avenues. Reportedly built in the 1920s, it had a nearly 90-year run before closing its doors. As Kimball leaves the bar across the street, you can see Athens Grocery on the corner of 113th and St. Lawrence Street, also now closed. If you're trying to picture all this, the one-armed man's house is just down the street from the Pullman Pub and the Athens Grocery. No movie trickery there. When the one-armed man, Frederick Sykes, calls in a false alarm to escape the watchful eye of the police, fire trucks pull up across from his house in front of what is now the House of Prayer Tabernacle Church at 112th and St. Lawrence.
Richard Kimball's confrontation with the one-armed man aboard a Ravenswood L train, later renamed the Brown Line, includes thrills and a few bits of fun. The actor sitting across from Harrison Ford on the L, looking at a newspaper with Richard Kimball splashed all over the front page, is Juan Ramirez, a longtime Chicago actor who has appeared in four Andrew Davis films, as well as Backdraft and Adventures in Babysitting, in which Ramirez plays a character billed simply as Chicano Leader. The transit cop who tries to arrest Harrison Ford's character,
Kimball,
was played by Neil Flynn, who grew up in the northern suburb of Waukegan, attending Waukegan East High School. After graduating from Bradley University, Flynn returned to Chicago to pursue acting, appearing in productions at Goodman and Steppenwolf Theaters. He also performed at Improv Olympic and with the Second City Comedy Troupe, eventually finding Hollywood success on the TV shows Scrubs and The Middle. Flynn also appeared in the Andrew Davis film Chain Reaction in 1996. By the way, special shout out to the late, great Andreas Katsoulis as Frederick Sykes, the one-armed man. Sure, he wasn't from Chicago, but he nailed this part. Fun fact, he was 46 when they filmed this. Maybe the trench coat makes him seem older? Other more obvious Chicago shooting locations for The Fugitive include Daly Plaza, the Chicago Hilton, City Hall, and Cook County Hospital.
James Newton Howard was brought in to create the film score, for which he would later be nominated for an Academy Award. And within roughly 10 weeks, including post-production work, The Fugitive was ready to be shown to Warner Brothers executives, who loved it, and at test screenings where the scores were through the roof. The Fugitive premiered in 2,340 theaters on August 6, 1993 in the United States, and had an opening weekend box office of just shy of $24 million, slightly more than $50 million adjusted for today's value. It stayed at number one at the box office for 6 weeks, finally losing that spot to the Bruce Willis film Striking Distance. It went on to make nearly $369 million worldwide, nearly $800 million in today's money. It was the second highest grossing film of 1993, bested only by Jurassic Park. As of this writing, The Fugitive has a 96% aggregate rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 81 reviews.
And in his review of The Fugitive for the Chicago Sun-Times, film critic Roger Ebert wrote, "Like the cult television series that inspired it, the film has a Kafka-esque view of the world, but it is larger and more encompassing than the series. Davis paints with bold visual strokes so that the movie rises above its action film origins and becomes operatic." Ebert later named it the fourth best film of 1993. The Fugitive received 7 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, which it lost to Schindler's List, by the way, and earned Tommy Lee Jones a Best Supporting Actor Award. The film was also nominated for Best Cinematography, which it lost to Schindler's List. And yes, we can even make another Chicago connection with Schindler's List. Janusz Kaminski, Steven Spielberg's longtime director of photography, graduated from Chicago's Columbia College in 1987. Andrew Davis received a Golden Globe nomination for Best Director and a Directors Guild of America nomination for Outstanding Directorial Achievement in Theatrical Direction. There was a sequel of sorts to The Fugitive with 1998's U.S. Marshals, featuring Tommy Lee Jones and his crew of marshals from The Fugitive, along with Robert Downey Jr., sent to apprehend Wesley Snipes. It did not include the Richard Kimball character. I don't even think he's mentioned. And it was not directed by Andrew Davis.
Just a little more than 7 years after the film hit theaters, another TV version of The Fugitive debuted on CBS in October of 2000 with Tim Daly in the lead role. When asked whether the story of Dr. Richard Kimball might have been a little played out by then, Daly responded, quote, "Not to get too pretentious, but I think The Fugitive is a truly existential drama. I think a thing we all share as human beings is a feeling of being slightly alienated, like Kimball," end quote. The role of Lieutenant Philip Gerard was played by Michael T. Williamson, best known for his performance as Bubba Blue in 1994's Forrest Gump. Roy Huggins, creator of the original Fugitive TV series, was a co-executive producer of the 2000 series with Daly and Williamson. Although it had a strong debut, the series was canceled after one season, leaving an unresolved cliffhanger. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me in this episode. I'm hopeful even you learned something new about this amazing Chicago film favorite.
Absolutely. I always learn something new at the Chicago History Podcast.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to today's episode about The Fugitive in Chicago. This episode was written and narrated by Kelly Marshall and me, Tommy Henry. Be sure to book a tour with Kelly at ChicagoMovieTours.com, and when you finally meet up, make sure you mention you heard this episode. As always, if you have any questions about anything covered today, anything to add, or have an idea for a future episode, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email at ChicagoHistoryPod@gmail.com. I have links to several books and other items related to this subject and other parts of Chicago's amazing history if you or someone you know is a history nerd like me who would like to learn more. Anything ordered through those links, not just the items listed, may earn a small commission for the podcast and help offset production costs at no additional cost to you. The original art for the Chicago History Podcast used on the social media pages was created by John K. Schneider. Outstanding work as always, Johnny. He can be found at Angel Eyes Art JKS on Instagram or via email at angeleyesartjks@gmail.com. We'll be back soon with more stories from Chicago's history. Until then, get out and explore when possible. Learn more about whatever city you live in and stay safe.